We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My name is Tim Daniel, but you may know me as the one on the left. His name is Tim Brown.
Mr. One on the left out this month. Mr. Put some respect on it.
And welcome to the 2024 season preview edition of Late Night Reds, brought to you by the Riverfront, brought to you by our wonderful friends at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, where you also become a member. We got a lot of convo going on right now on the Patreon about MLB the Show and everyone getting a little Diamond Dynasty action in. I'm loving it. This is like near and dear to my heart. So come join us for that. Also, this show would not be possible without our friends over at SeatGeek, which if you are, say, looking to get some tickets to see the Reds play and you haven't used SeatGeek before, go ahead and sign up and tell them that the Riverfront sent you, because if you use code Riverfront when you check out, you get $20 off your first purchase. So we just had to make sure we got all of the stuff out there. Ben, we made it.
Holla at me.
Oh my goodness.
What we got?
we got through
opening day week, man. We are here.
As the legendary Stinger used to say, it's showtime.
Showtime.
Oh man. So we're gonna talk about the season, obviously. We're gonna talk about things. We're gonna take our best guesses at who are gonna lead the team in statistics through the season. And we're going to end the show continuing the Riverfront movie quote series, which if you've listened to any of our shows in the past, we've used this little exercise this week to describe how we're feeling currently about the Cincinnati Reds. We're using quotes from the 1992 classic Wayne's World, which if you ask my mother, she'll tell you the movie Wayne's World is how I learned to use the VCR.
I tell you what. When we talked about this over the week, I had not seen Wayne's World. It was probably the ones I saw in theater, but I hadn't seen it probably, it's been a good 20 plus years.
Sure.
Dude, so quotable.
Oh my god, it's so
like
good.
Incredible.
Yes, I absolutely love it. One of my all-time favorite films. So, I don't know if I kind of catch people up if they don't know what we're talking about, what we do. So, Nate and Joe in the off season did on the Riverfront Red show, they did describing how they felt currently about the Reds using quotes from the movie Anchorman. And then I was a guest on the Bengals show where we talked about using how we describing the Bengals and our thoughts process through quotes of Back to the Future. So this is the next part of that series that we do throughout the network. So it could be terrible, but it's Tim and Ben, so it's not going to be terrible. So
no, it'll be gold. It'll be gold.
Exactly. Cool. So we're going to start with this. Enough. We've done. No more injury news. All right.
You've heard it all. Man.
So here is where we are at. So last week we talked about TJ Friedel breaking his wrist. It sounds like that's about 4 weeks before he's even checked on. We found out Matt McClain is going to be getting a second option to see if surgery is going to be a thing. Edwin Arroyo is out for the season, the Reds' top prospect. Brandon Williamson starting the season on the IL. Nick Lodolo starting the season on the IL. I posted a short here on our YouTube channel, which if you are not subscribed to, you really should. Disgusting. Absolutely. Trying to figure out where things went wrong. But dude, okay, so we all agree. No more injury news. We're kind of seeing how the roster's shaking out for opening day. But how much would you say this has diminished, if at all, your excitement for the season starting?
I'd be lying if I didn't. I guess diminished would be kind of hard. I'll say this. As optimistic as I was going into the offseason, I still have the optimism because I still think we have a lot of good young talent. I think our pitching staff is really good. I think our relievers are still really good. I would say, though, that it's a little bit tempered, only because, you know, we had such high hopes for Matt McClain. I mean, that one to me is the big one. Well, I'll say two, him and Lodolo, which I think we'll get Lodolo back fairly soon. I mean, hopefully mid-April. But man, I tell you what, the Matt McClain one, and even Friedel too. I mean, those two, those three, like it, those sting, especially
they suck.
Because Matt McClain is the guy. I mean, we were talking possible, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be the MVP, but put up MVP type numbers. You know, his leadership, the you know, solidifying that infield, right? Ellie and Matt, we're going to be solid in the middle. And now we've lost 2/3 of that part of the middle. You know, with Friedel being out and McClain now going on the IL. So, you know, that was our strong suit. And now it's, you know, I think you got to wonder a little bit about what you do there. So I'm not saying that India can't do it, but I think India, the signing of India is so big now. I mean, it is huge now. It is huge. And not saying that it wasn't before this, but man, now that we know that McClain is possibly out, possibly long-term, and you need an extra outfielder with which him working both infield and outfield, his signing weighs huge now. Getting him back into the fold is huge. So I won't say it dampens my spirit because I still think that we're a really good baseball club, but man, it stings not knowing that we're going into this season full strength. Full strength meaning Friedel, McClain, Lodolo, all being good to go. Even Sam Moll for an extent. Like, he's a big part of, I think, what our bullpen is trying to do. So, not having that, I can't say it dampens a little bit, but, man, it stings a little bit just because I don't think that Major League Baseball is going to see us at full strength, full capacity. And even if we don't get McClain back for a long time, I still don't think it's they're going to see us at full strength until we get Matt McClain back healthy and Friedel back healthy and Lodolo is pitching the way he does. And so I still think our roster's good. I still think our pitching's good. But, man, having 2/3 of a center of our defense kind of hurting out, that sucks. That stings.
It does sting for sure. So I do want to go ahead and make sure we get this in. So Brandon Kamick did mention, and I showed it earlier. I just keep trying to remember. Last year, Jason Vossler was our opening day first baseman, and Luis Sessa and Luke Weaver were in the rotation. That is 1,000%. Even with all the injuries, like Ben said, they're better than they were last year at this point.
Absolutely.
So that's really nice. John asked, who is the 26th man? I never heard anything about that today. I don't think it's been announced yet. I
don't think it's been announced.
Yeah, I assume it'll probably be coming out in the next couple of days, probably Monday or Tuesday to get ready for the, you know, because you got to have the announcements come, because I think they're still, a lot of those guys, they still have to put on the IL just because the IL is not really active yet. So that's kind of going to shake things up. But there's definitely going to be some guys out there that we've seen in spring training that are going to have that option. And then Joey Gaditza, lots to still be excited about. And I'm digging having Espinal. So that brings us to our next topic of discussion.
Gaditza.
Santiago.
Way to lead us in, baby.
Santiago Espinal. So acquired for a relief pitcher, a minor league pitcher. I'm sure someone's going to be pissed off at me that I can't remember their name in the exact moment, because I don't know every single person that's that wears a Reds is on, not on the 40-man roster or whatever. but Espinal. So I was kind of looking at it, and so mind you, I didn't watch every single Toronto Blue Jays game last year. So when I saw his numbers last year, I was like, oh, man. I mean, it's nice that they're going to have depth, but then I looked more into it. He had a lot of injuries last year. He was up and down with the IL last year. Year before, he was an all-star and was really, really good for Toronto. I know I've heard some Blue Jays fans who are really, really upset that he was not going to be part of the team anymore. So I'm curious about this, and Brandon asked me, on a scale of a Ghostbusters to a quality film, because we had a conversation. He said he's not a fan of the original Ghostbusters film, which I'm shocked he's still allowed to be in this chat right now. I'm shocked I haven't kicked him out yet. how much are you expecting from Espinal? So I think for the time being, you know, the occasional day that Ellie has a day off, you know, he's probably going to play the occasional day. India has a day off for DHs. He's going to play. And I think that what you saw in these first two games, mind you, it's spring training. We've talked about. Pretty impressed with the first two games he played. You know, getting here on Wednesday and getting a couple extra base hits on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. Pretty excited. Yep. Feel pretty good about him.
Yeah. I listen. And here's the thing about this. Getting a guy with that kind of experience, with the all-star level talent, this late into spring training and going into your regular season is a rarity. I mean, anytime you can bring a guy in that's a former all-star, I went back and did the same thing, Tim. I looked back at his season last year and saw he had it would have been two or three stints on the IL maybe. Like, he was kind of in and out. But like you said, the year before, dude, he was an all-star. He's shown the ability to be able to play at a high level. So anytime you can bring that kind of talent in and put that on your roster.
Mr. Juan.
Okay.
First off, where you been for a couple weeks?
Right. I was saying, I'm back. Glad Mr. Juan's back in the fold out here. Wait, nice.
Secondly,
to see you.
Calling him a poor man's Freddie Galvis. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
But no, but honestly though, I do think that's a great, I mean, that's a great kind of sneaky pickup for the Reds, because they're going to need that depth. Depending on how long McClain is out, that gives you the option of, like you said, being able to rest Ellie for a day. You can rest Ellie for a day. You can move India around a little bit. You can do some different things. If Candelario needs a day, you can move Ellie over to third for a day. And like, there just gives you a lot of different options to be able to move some different guys around and get some guys some breaks if needed. So I think it's a sneaky good pickup. Like I said, you're not used to picking up all-star level guys this late. So I think it's a great move by them. Great move by the Reds.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree. All right. So John says, I'm concerned about Diaz being Alexis Diaz. He does not seem to be scaring too many batters like he did early last season. Lots of walks and hard hit balls. Can't always blame spring training. It's a pattern. So last year, we talked about this during the season last year. Towards the end, Alexis Diaz was overused, and you could definitely tell that he was tired. Spring training, he got hit pretty hard today by the Guardians for the spring training finale. I understand, John, where you're coming from. I just feel like he's too good to not figure it out. And maybe I'm just putting my blinders on, but I think that he's just one of those guys, and he loves the ninth inning. He's that guy that mm-hmm. likes to get the ball to get those three outs. And I definitely, like, I've been pretty honest in the past that I hate the term closer. I understand that it takes a special person to take the ball in the ninth inning, and I respect that. Mm-hmm. But to say there's only one person on every team that can do that is silly to me. But with that being said, the guy was an all-star at it last year. I think, you know, remember Mets fans wanted him really bad because his brother is Edwin, and Edwin got hurt for the year because the Reds were just going to give him away, apparently.
Right.
but I'm not – I understand and I respect and I appreciate the insight. I mean, I appreciate the comment. I'm just not worried about it, man. I think that especially – and if he does struggle out the gate for, you know, a week or so or a couple of weeks, I feel pretty good about the other options they have. I think Emilio Pagan was a great pickup, like we talked about. TJ Antone made the team.
Yep.
Yes, Josh, you were right. They were Guardians minor leaguers. I did forget to point that out because it was at the end of the game when everyone was getting ready to go back to Cincinnati and Cleveland. But I think TJ Antone made the team, and that was awesome. You know, his reaction to making the team, to coming, you know, breaking the camp with the team is awesome. And we know the weapon he can be when he's healthy. So I think to that point, the difference between this year and last year is if they can't get him going, then they have other options, where last year it was like, well, I guess we'll throw Injabo out there in the ninth inning, see if he can get these outs that you can't get right now.
Yeah, I think that's the major sticking point on that is that I think Alexis Diaz is a guy that lives for the moment. And I think he's a guy that embraces that moment. And sometimes you don't get a chance to – you're not really in yourself when you're coming into a spring training game and you're just working on stuff. I have faith in him. The guy was an all-star. But, Tim, you bring up a huge point. I think that we have two or three guys that could come in and get three outs in the ninth inning if we really needed it. If he's struggling back-to-back days or a week, or if there's a struggle there where he's having a problem getting outs, I think there's a couple guys in that bullpen that can come in and get three outs in the ninth inning. Doesn't have to be a per se closer, just a guy that can get those outs when we need to win a baseball game.
Yeah, for sure. So we got a couple questions here that I want to get to as well. Guys, this is awesome. Please keep them coming. We're going to have some stuff we're going to be talking about, like I said. So Brandon asks, can Benson play a competent center field? Outfield defense is a significant concern. And then John, to kind of piggyback off it, brings up, Cleveland just cut Miles Straw, elite runner, gold glove defender, soft bat. Anyone think he can be a start for the Reds outfield? Here's where I'll start. I'll start with Will Benson. I think he's so athletic. And in fact, he plays in Cincinnati, which is not a huge center field. I feel fine there. Now, like those road trips when they go to like San Francisco and Arizona, I might consider another option, but we might have Friedel back by then. I have to look at the schedule to make sure. In regards to John, I for sure would give Miles Straw a call. I think that he's really, you know, he's not a good hitter by any stretch. I shouldn't say that. That's kind of rude. He's not the best hitter, I should say. Right. But yeah, he's an excellent defender. He's a the Ghost Runner extra inning guy. I want him on second base in the bottom of the ninth. I mean, in the bottom of the 10th in a close game. Yeah, I am 1,000% open to if they want to give Miles Straw a shot to be the 26th man.
Yeah, I would agree with both of those. Will Benson to me is a guy that I think that he's so athletic, like you said, Tim, that I don't think that moving him around will bother him too much. I'm not saying that he's as rangy as Friedel is or as comfortable as Friedel is in that spot, but he's still a professional athlete and he's still played in the outfield. So I think he's going to be able to be serviceable. But I do think the Straw, and then second point, I do think the Straw is definitely worth a phone call. I mean, at least reach out and see where his mind's at and what he wants to do, because unlike our infield, our outfield definitely does not have the depth that we have in the infield. So reaching out to a guy like Straw, who's is a gold glove defender, a guy that runs the base pads well. I think it's definitely worth reaching out to him for sure.
Perfect. Yeah, I completely agree. Mr. Juan, have faith in Stuart Fairchild. He is the savior of the Reds team. Had a great spring training. Mm-hmm. A great spring training. Gave me a lot more optimism. And like I've said many times on the show, I sat next to his mom at a game one time. She was incredibly nice to me. So I'm a Stuart Fairchild fan, you know? I mean, yeah. So, all right, guys. So we're going to go ahead and go through this real quick. And we 1,000% want your input as well. For those of you hanging out in the chat, whether it's on Twitter or YouTube, thank you guys for hanging out. So Ben and I are going to go around the around here and pick our make our predictions for who we think will lead the Reds in statistical categories. Now, for those of you like me who love the fan graphs and stuff, we're going baseball card stats, right? We're going what's on the back of the baseball card because picking who's going to have the best weighted runs created plus on the team is going to be really
good. I was going to say, I'm like, that's like throwing darts at a board, man. I'm like,
right. Yeah, that could be a guy who had like 7 at-bats is the top war, you know, so.
Right.
Pat McGuire's coming in just in
what's
time.
Good?
All right, Ben. So, you're not ready for the season to start, Pat. How can you not be ready for the season to start? You got to be lying. It's not April Fool's Day for about 8 days, my guy. All right, Ben. Let's go ahead and get started here. Number one. Who in your eyes, let's start offensively. Let's go offensively. Okay. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Okay.
Let's go with the big one. Do you see some comments in the chat already about it? Who is the Cincinnati Reds leader in 2024 in home runs?
Man, here's the thing. If he gets enough at bats, I'm going CES.
Yes.
If he gets enough at bats. And that's, I mean, he's splitting time, you know what I mean? Like, if he's our everyday first baseman, he's getting at bats. I just think that guy's got way too much pop to not lead us in home runs. I mean, some of the shots that he's hit in the spring, I feel like he looks more comfortable. I think that he's attacking the baseball in the zone. And he's just got pop, dude. His bats just got pop. If he gets enough at bats, I'm going with Christian Encarnacion Chan as our home run leader.
I think we should preference this by whoever leads the team in home runs, we're going to be happy with. So,
oh, absolutely. Sure yeah, absolutely.
I love it. He's definitely a sturdy 35 home run upside. I think I'm going to go with Mr. Jaime Candelario because he was brought here.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
To hit tanks. He's, you know, that's why he's here. Mm-hmm. And the bat started to look a little better the last week or so of spring training.
Yeah.
Switch hitter. So he's got that benefit. But I'm thinking he's like a 34, 35 home run guy. He hit 22 last year in between Chicago and Washington. I think when they did the home run map, the Fangraphs puts out, he was like if he plays at this ballpark, you would hit 30 home runs because where everything landed. So I'm going to go Jaimer, but my sneaky pick is if he gets enough at bats. Because of how many right-handed pitchers are in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Fraley.
Ooh. That's sneaky. That's real sneaky.
Yeah.
Mr. Rake himself.
I like this, Brandon. Jaimer could be Reds Castellanos with slightly worse contract. I like
it. Yeah, I like that.
All right, Ben. Let's go to who is the Reds leader this year in runs scored?
That's a tough one, dude. That's a tough one. And this is wishful thinking because I think that I'm hoping that he gets on base enough to do this. I'm going to go Ellie.
I had the same thing.
I was going to say, Lord, I hope that he gets on base enough to score a lot. I mean, he just creates so much chaos on the base pads that, I mean – A bloop to left, and he's on second. That's a run. I mean, that's not even a question.
He's in scoring position if he's on first base.
Correct. Yeah, so, no doubt about it.
I mean, I think it's spoilers say he's going to be my leader in stolen bases as well, too. I think he leads the National League in stolen bases this year.
I do, too.
Mr. Wong going with Will Benson. Now, I'm all for it. All for it. I think that makes a lot of sense. I like that. It's just like you said, just what he is able to do, how pitchers fear when he's on the base path. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling there's going to be a couple throws over, try to get him real quick. That go into the, you know, they go to the, they go to the tar. So,
yep. Ooh,
Brandon goes Spencer Steer for most runs. I like that.
Ooh, I like that too.
I have a hot Spencer Steer take coming a little later. All right. Well, I guess we can stick there. So, for most hits on the team this year, I think I'm going to go Spencer Steer.
I would have went Steer. Absolutely.
Now, if McClain was there for 162 games, I for sure would have picked him. And but not only do I think Spencer Steer is going to lead the team in hits, I think Spencer Steer will be the Reds' representative in the All-Star game this year.
Yeah. Dude, he's tough.
I think that he is just that good of a hitter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if left field at Great American Ballpark is going to be as much of an issue for him. There's definitely concern. I mean, the whole outfield thing, we've talked about this all offseason, there's concern. But playing in that small corner, I think he's going to have his opportunities there to where it's not going to cause him. And like, here's the thing. No one votes for all-star players for their defensive abilities. They just vote them for their position. So Spencer Steer will be an all-star. That is my prediction.
I like it. Yeah. I like
Who you going hits? Who's the hit leader?
Oh man. Gosh dang. I wish Matt McClain was healthy.
Mm-hmm. But I wish TJ Friedl was healthy.
I know. Gosh. If he plays every day, I think breakout year for India.
Ooh, Ben. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think that he's got something to prove. I think he's coming in. I think he's coming in and he's taking the role as leader at a high standard. And he knows. I mean, dude, it's no mistake. I mean, he knows that he was almost on the chopping block, right, wrong, or indifferent. He knows that, you know, I mean, he knows that he was talked about in trade talks. He's talked those guys are professionals. They know that stuff. So if he plays every day, if he gets a chance to bat every day, I'm going to India.
So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to pull this out just so people understand what this here. Jonathan India in 28 spring training at bats.
Mm-hmm.
A .393 batting average. 2 home runs, a 1.092 OPS, 2 stolen bases.
Mm.
Jonathan India also, for those who don't know the logic of sports, when you become a parent, your game steps up a bit.
Yeah, it does.
Luka Doncic, Fred VanVleet.
Yep.
It just happens, right? Mm-hmm. So Jonathan India is a girl dad now. His family is going to be in the stands.
Yep.
All right. I like it. So you're going India for hits leader. All right. I was going to go for walks leader, Will Benson, because he was like the second best guy behind Votto last year with the strike zone.
Yep. I would have won Benson as well.
Yeah. And then RBI leader, I'm going Christian Encarnacion-Strand for all the reasons you guys have talked about.
Yeah. I think that he's got a big year lined up, man. I do. I just watch his at-bats, and I see his pop. I see his ability. And I just see him driving in 100+.
Yeah, I do too. All right, let's go to the pitching side of things. Let's see what we got here going, because this is interesting. Okay. Because there's a lot of things that can happen with this, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's start with, I guess we'll do the obvious. Strikeout leader, I'm going Hunter Green.
Hunter Green.
Easy. His over-under every game is going to be at least 6.5. I mean.
Yeah.
So, I think that's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Innings pitched.
Oh. Gosh dang, that's a tough one. And this is wishful thinking. I'm hoping it's Frankie Montas.
Mm-hmm.
Looked
good
if
yesterday.
If he can get it. Yeah, he looked really good yesterday. So, you know, I'm going Frankie Montas. I think that, you know, the guy wants to win 20 games. In order to win 20 games, not saying he has to pitch 7+ innings, but it helps when you pitch. The more time you're on the field and control your own destiny, I think that helps the fact of you trying to get to 20 wins. So I'm going to go with Montas.
Josh is saying if Nick Lodello's healthy, he'll be the strikeout leader. I like it. I'm all for it.
Hey, listen, I was going to say I'd be all for that. I'm on record of being a Nick Lodello guy. So is Tim. So, dude, if he's healthy and he leads us in strikeouts, please, by all means.
Brandon Gavick. Hot take. Graham Ashford looks more like Fat Mac than Tim looks like Jeff Carr. I love it. I will be hanging out with Jeff Carr on Thursday at Moorline if you guys want to come hang out. All right. So my innings pitched. You went Montas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go Andrew Abbott.
Oh, that's a good one, man.
Yeah.
I love Andrew Abbott too.
That's my guy, man.
Yeah, dude. I like him a lot. I really do.
Pascal and Graham Ashcraft, which that's my under the radar. I think he's gonna be really, really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll go. All right. Appearances. Who has the most appearances this year? I'm going Emilio Pagan. Buck Farmer and Ian Jabeau aren't going to have to pitch 96 times this year. They're deeper in the bullpen. Pagan's a guy who has a ton of experience. I can make the case for Nick Martinez, but with how long these guys are out, that he's probably going to be starting a few games. So that's probably going to decrease, his every fifth day thing. So I'm going Emilio Pagan.
That's a good one, man. That's a good one. I was gonna go Martinez, even though I know that those guys are gonna be out for a while. I think that they'll be able to move him back to the bullpen, and his stuff has looked electric over the spring. So I'm gonna go Martinez. I think Martinez.
Cool. All right. Last ones. Best ERA on the team. I'm going Dark Horse.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a TJ Antone year. I think this is like a 301 TJ Antone year.
Ooh. I like that.
Again, baseball card stats. So ERA can mean anything, but.
Right. Right. If he's healthy, I'm going Sam Moll.
Ooh, that's if a good he's one. Healthy. We're going dark horse for this one. I like it.
Yeah. Because I mean, I saw his stuff last year, dude. He's got great stuff. It's he's crafty. And I think that if he's healthy, dude, I like his stuff. I like him coming in and getting quality out.
All right. I'm with it. All right. And I'm going to end it on whip because we all think Alexis Diaz will be the saves leader, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Brent Suter. I think he's going to be so good at GABP.
That's a good one. Yep. I'd have to go with you on that one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
Like Brandon said, digging all the lefty options this year. I know Justin Wilson didn't look very good today. As far as like your like last lefty, I feel very confident in him. So I'm fired up. All right, cool. That was a fun exercise. All right, let's go to this side real quick because this has come up quite a bit. All right. So it could be a guy that's not on this graphic because it's very possible, especially with minor leaguers and AAA and how deep it is. But the Reds prospect who makes their big league debut first this year, I think, and it's easy to say because he's going to probably be in Louisville this year and he's probably the most ready as far as like polish, especially now that Arroyo's out for the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go Rhys Hines. I just think that his power is just going to carry him. And he's a guy they've had play multiple positions in the minors already. Which is something the Reds are really, try to be flexible about. I think, obviously the Jacob Herdebees, Blake Dunn, their options as well. But I just think Rhys Hines is probably the most pro ready of any of those.
Yeah. No, I would agree.
Big league ready.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Maybe out of necessity, maybe Herdebees or Dunn, but. Yeah, I think Rhys Hines is an incredible dude. His power and his ability to hit major league pitching consistently, I think that puts him in a top tier level of being big league ready before the rest of those guys. So, yeah, I like that pick.
Do you think Chase Petty pitches an inning for the Cincinnati Reds in 2024?
Yes.
Ooh.
I do. And I'll say this. Only because, and this is the reason why I think his stuff is electric, but two, I think the pitching position has the most, I think that position gets injured and ends up on the IL the most. And we have great pitching depth. And I think why not bring him up and let him get that experience now? and give him the opportunity to come up and, you know, 10 days, you know, whatever the case may be, and get a taste of the major league. But yeah, I think he does at some point.
Yeah. I'm not as confident as you are. I wouldn't be surprised, I would say. Maybe when rosters expand in September, I could see him kind of doing what Connor Phillips did last year. The only reason I'm not as confident is just because there's so many things that might have to happen.
Connor Phillips would probably it'd be a lot. Yeah, it'd be a lot.
Where does Rhett Lauder end the 2024 season?
Ooh.
I think global.
I was going to say, if I had to guess.
I mean, they're already talking about there's already a lot of talks that he's going to be in Chattanooga to start the year.
Yeah. If I had to guess.
He's awesome. He's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. Pat Maguch bringing it. I saw Pat was here. Joey Gaditsa.
Okay.
Who hits the first regular season bomb? Who goes deep at GABB first? I'm going Ellie.
I was going Benson.
Oh!
I was going Benson.
Rhett Lauder will end the year in the majors, according to Mr. Juan.
Ooh, Mr. Juan, okay.
I'm for it. He's so good, man. He's so good. He's already got a really nice card in Diamond Dynasty for all my MLB The Show nerds out there that we talked about this, who are in our Patreon group. So I like it. I'm all for it.
Wow. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Benson and Ellie for homers. Brandon Kamek says he's taking Espedal at plus 5,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that.
I love the optimism today. It's really nice. Everything's fun right now. We're all feeling good. Here's what kind of Fangraphs has kind of everyone looking at. So the usual, this guy. I mean, in the lineup that we all expect. CES, McLean, Ellie, Jimer. Tyler Stevenson behind the leg, Spencer Steer, TJ Frieda, Will Benson, with Jake Freely against him in there. DHs, they have CES, Jonathan Dia, Jake Freely kind of being the top three. Again, all stuff we expect. But just kind of make sure we get out there. Let's talk about old Bubba Thompson getting 5% of the gameplay in center field. Yeah. Let's see. We're getting fun questions now. Over under 100 innings pitch. This is my good friend Ken. Ken, welcome to the show. For Nicola Dolo, I'm taking the over.
I was gonna say, I hope it's the over. I hope it's the over.
I like it.
A healthy Nicola Dolo, man, it's a huge key to us having a really good season, man.
Very key.
Like I said, if he's our third starter, if we have to go with him on a third day, I don't think there's many third starters that has the stuff that he has.
Agreed.
Totally agreed. I hope he's healthy.
Mr. Juan, Ellie, over under 70 stolen bases this year. He had 35 and half a season last year.
Gosh.
It's close. I'm going to go in the 60s. So it's going to be close.
I have to go under on that. I'm saying 64.
Because if he has 70, then he's going to have a Ronald Acuña year.
Correct. Yeah. I was going to say, if he has 70 stolen bases, that means his on-base percentage is insane, which means he's getting on base a lot.
Yeah. Which, hey, I will take.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll definitely take.
No doubt about it.
Ellie did have a solid spring, 919 OPS, 2 homers, 7 RBI, 5 stolen bases, 50 at-bats. So, contrary to what some people who write for newspapers in the Cincinnati area tell you, Ellie's doing fine. He's not going to be playing in AAA this year.
Yeah, he'll be all right. He'll break with the club. He's good.
Yeah. So, kind of going back to Lodolo, because I like that question. And Brandon says it here. If Nick Lodolo has over 100 innings pitched, the Reds are without a shadow of doubt the best rotation.
Oh, without question.
In the National League. Oh, yeah. And Ken here, so he says, Ellie definitely leads the team in runs. He scores at Billy Hamilton rate 50% of the time he gets on base. 50% of the time it works every time.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, That's the same thing we've talked about with Lodolo, though, man. Like, if he's healthy and he's your third guy, like, that's that rotation, and then you back it up with an Ashcraft and an Abbott or a Martinez, like, dude, our top six, like, if they're on, like, that rotation is filthy. They are filthy. So if Lodolo's healthy and he's your third, say this, you come into a series and Lodolo starts your series, you go Lodolo, Ashcraft, Abbott, or Lodolo, Abbott, Martinez. Like that's insane.
It's fun.
That's insane.
It's fun. It's what you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Ooh, all right. We're getting some Ty Steve chatter in here.
Okay.
So we got to make sure we touch on that. We've talked about this all off season. I think you and I believe he's really going to have a bounce back year, but I guess we need to kind of reiterate what we think a bounce back season is, to be fair. I firmly believe that healthy Tyler Stevenson is more like the 2021 guy. 2021, 2022 guy. 2022 obviously played very little. 2023, we talked about, we felt like he was really battling that shoulder injury throughout the year, still kind of getting comfortable. He had some decent, he had some ups and downs in spring training, but I think he's going to be fine this year. I think he's probably back in that 275, 280 batting average range. I think he's probably about 13, 14 homers, but I just don't know if he's ever going to be, which is weird for how huge he is. I just don't know if he's ever a 20 plus home run guy.
Yeah.
No, and I'm not saying he has to be.
No, I see what you're saying. But yeah, if we go back and we're looking back here, and I've got it just looking in 2021, 132 games played, batted .286, on base percentage .336, slugged at .431, OPS .797, OPS plus .106, total bases .151, and he was sixth in rookie of the year voting. I mean, that's,
you take that.
I take that all day.
Yeah,
I take that all day. I hope he's at that level. Like I said, I think he battled with that shoulder more than he would let anybody else know. But I think a healthy Tyler Stevenson he's a 275 to 285 hitter, 12 to 15 home runs, 60 to 70 RBIs. And I don't know anybody else that wouldn't take that at the catching position. Like we've talked about before, there's not this great wealth of super all-star catchers out there that are setting the bar so high that we look at Tyler Stevenson and go, gosh, he's a bomb. Like that bar for catchers isn't way up there like it was. So him being at that level is going to be huge for us. If he's batting at that level and, in the 8-9 slot, I mean, that's what you want.
Should we kind of go into a caveat here of how many at-bats is Luke Maley going to take for him? Because he raked in spring training. His OPS was right under 1,300.
He was incredible. Here's the thing, though, and I don't know. I know there's a healthy competitive between the two. Does it become a place where they're splitting at bats? If Luke Maley is hitting them, which, like we say, spring training, we know that.
We and don't Tyler really Stevens believe is, Luke Maley's going to do this
correct
throughout the season. But
it's like, geez,
if he does.
But if he does, what do you do? Holy cow. But no, Luke Maley, I think, is happy in his role. I mean, he wouldn't have resigned if he wasn't. He's happy in his role. And he likes that. I mean, for him, he just goes out and, he plays, he lets it hang. Honestly, there's nothing really. He knows he's the every third or fourth day starter, and he goes out and does what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, and I think Josh brings up a really good point here. He caught Hunter Green today. That's kind of a thing too, where especially for the younger guys, he's probably going to have that. He's going to kind of be that guy, kind of be like, I don't want to say game manager because this isn't, the NFL.
No, right.
I mean, if everyone's bringing up Mike Ford,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really
odd. Yeah.
That was very odd.
Yeah, that was really odd. Yeah, spring stats definitely don't matter, but I liked what we saw from them.
I was going to say we've talked about spring not being anything and everything, but like that dude, I don't have his spring stats in front of me, but every time I saw highlights, he was freaking raking. You know what I mean? Like that guy raked in the spring. So I don't know. I don't know what you know, what causes those decisions to be made, but I'm like, I thought he played well enough to make the roster. But
yeah. Over under Luke Maley, 2 stolen bases this year. He had 2 last year.
Oh.
But like, who did he steal on? Does anyone have these like these videos? Like was it like was it like the catcher dropped the ball? Like what happened here? Was it like was the first baseman not holding him? Does anyone remember these? I don't remember these 2 stolen bases.
I don't remember them either. I gotta go. I'll go local Luke. I'll give him 3. I'll go over. Why not?
Yeah, we're going. Everyone says over. Ken says over. Mr. Wong says over.
Yeah, let's go.
I love it, everybody. I love the optimism. Someone just knocked my wire out of my headphones.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go over local Luke over 2 stolen bases. I'm with it.
I am.
I'm with it.
Yes, absolutely. And guys, before we get into our previewing the Nationals for the weekend series, dude. Okay, so Brandon just brought this up.
Okay.
Before we get to our next segment, Corky Miller's 1 career stolen base is a seal of home. So I laugh at this because the Reds just put this video on their socials the other
day.
Have you seen the clip?
Yes, I did. They did.
Oh man, it's awesome. It's the best. So everyone's in agreement. So should we go ahead and put the wager in with FanDuel? Maley over 2 stolen bases?
Let's do it.
I love it.
Do it. Late Night Reds FanDuel account. Put it on it. Let's do it.
And before we do move on, I just want to make sure everyone knows Blake Dunn and Jacob Herdebees are great.
They're awesome. Listen. They're aces with us.
We're fans.
We don't want no problems. Yeah. They're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
I was at Jacob Herdebees' AAA debut last year. Okay, guys? Like, I'm a fan.
We like the guy. Blake Dunn, great guy.
Great. Minor league player of the year.
Good talent. So, good talent. It'll be fine.
All right. Just want to make sure we got that out there. All right. So.
Listen, man, we don't want no smoke. You know what I mean?
I fully expect a text from Chad and Nate tomorrow, like, cracking up at that. But. All right, so let's talk about the Nationals. Last year, won 71-91. Notable additions include Joey Gallo, Dylan Floro, and good friend Nick Senzel. And then I don't know if you saw today, Ben, but Jesse Winker made the Nationals. Derek Law made the Nationals. So once again, the Washington Reds are coming to town.
The Washington Reds, man, back at it.
Yeah.
That is insane.
So obviously that's where we kind of go this weekend. That's where we start the season. Pitching matchups. We have Frankie Montas against former Red, Josiah Gray, former Red prospect, I should say. Saturday we have Hunter Green against Patrick Corbin. And then Sunday of Nick Martinez against Jake Irvin. So yeah, Ken says if you count Josiah Gray, 7 former Reds on the Nationals. I feel like that's been a trend forever.
It has been.
Like Jose Guillen after he played for the Reds went to the Nationals. Austin Kearns, Adam Dunn, Ryan Wagner. Ken would know many more of these than I would. You can make a pretty good team of good Reds players that became Nationals. That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Boone played for the Nationals.
Yep.
So John brings up Lane Thomas is the Reds killer, and that's accurate. He's awesome. Thank you, St. Louis, for trading him. I really appreciate that. but this is kind of what you're looking at for the weekend. Obviously, I think we should go in preference like we do with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we think this is going to happen. But if the Reds do go 0-3 this weekend, it doesn't mean the season's over, folks. Let's just relax. No. But, oh, man, Bill Bray, Gary Majewski. Look at this. We could literally build. Pete Rose technically played for the Expos. I mean,
yeah.
We could do this. We
That's
could build
insane.
A, we could wow. draft the Nationals slash Reds team for sure.
Slash Reds.
Yeah. All right, but I think that if you look at this, I think I'm comfortable with 2-1. Yeah. I believe they can sweep because obviously mm-hmm. Washington's in a situation where they're going the lengthy rebuild route. I'm going to give you a chance here. I have the number in front of me. I didn't tell you this. Take a wild guess how much money the Nationals spent this offseason. Just your best guess.
Oh, gosh. $20
million. 9.6.
Oh, man. They were like, we are saving everything. We're just waiting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I know we have a show to do here, but I'm having so much fun just seeing all this, like these former Reds that became Nationals popping up. Ken just shared Corey Patterson and Ross Detweiler.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Holy cow.
We're just ready for Immaculate Grid tomorrow. Felipe Lopez was traded to Washington.
He was. What a name from the past, Felipe.
Johnny
Lopez.
Gomes. Johnny Gomes played for Nationals. Gomes he was traded in 2011.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Royce Clayton. We're just ready for Immaculate Grid in the morning. If there's a Reds Nationals square, we're good.
All over it. We got it covered.
Yeah. I think Dunner actually had a bobblehead with both teams, if I remember correctly. Not like a dual bobblehead, like the Griffey one they had when they played Seattle his Hall of Fame year. But had one with the Reds, obviously. Had like 17 with the Reds. And then had one with the mm-hmm. Nationals at the stadium giveaway. So, like it. Do you think...
Mm-hmm.
I asked this, not in the sense that I was, you know, I went to bat for him for years and believed in him, even though it was not in my favor. But in the sense that he got a nice graphic in the offseason, he got a tribute video on the socials. Does Nick Senzel get honored this weekend?
Oh.
Or does the opening day festivities get in the way?
Yeah, I think with it being opening day, I think that kind of gets in the way.
Maybe
but
Saturday?
I think Saturday maybe they'll do something for him. And I think the fans will recognize him, of course. I mean, I think that there are a lot of people that are in your shoes as well, Tim. Like, they appreciate
it. Are there a lot of people?
So. I think there's more than probably we think. I mean,
more than
you know,
three.
It was the could have been, you know what I mean? I think it's what it was. But yeah, I think he'll get something.
Does Derek Law get one?
Nah.
Why not? He had that like pencil stash.
Nah. That's a hard pass.
Yeah. I think Reds fans probably are just like, don't ever bring up Nick Senzel ever again. Get him out of my life. Do not honor him. Like, he is gone. Good riddance.
I think there's a little bit of love for Senzi.
Here's what I would do to go off Ken's thing here. I would just do an all out bring everybody that we just listed in this chat. Bring them all in. Reds Nationals Alumni Day.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? God. Get it up for Corey Patterson. Or like, all right. Let's do it.
Do we have Willie Bloomquist?
Yep. That's another one.
Yeah, I don't know if Willie Taveras ended up playing for the Nationals. I'm sure he did by the sense of this conversation we're having, but like they couldn't even get the game until like 6:30. Just naming them all, it would just be
name
like
them all, dude. That's incredible.
That's this is incredible. Nuts. Yeah. Josh asked the Senzel get booed. I would not put it past Cincinnati to boo him. Would I say yes or no? I'm gonna go no, but I would not put it past the city to do so.
Yeah, I don't think so. Listen, there were a lot of those years we sucked, so I mean, it wasn't like he was costing us a pennant. Or anything like that, you know what I mean? So, no, I don't think he gets booed. I mean, he was here at some of the lows of the lows. So, I don't think they boo him.
Yeah, John brings up Winker was actually more successful with the Reds than Senzel was. I'm pretty sure he was honored when he was with Milwaukee. So, yeah. I think that's the only reason I didn't bring him up for that. Tanner Roark, that's another one. I forgot about him going there. Yeah.
Wow. What an incredible list.
This is like the fact that the list is growing for 12 minutes.
That's incredible. That's like, incredible.
This is like the best segment of all time on the Denver Reds. Like, I'm absolutely loving this.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's incredible. I'm excited for it. I hate that the Nationals, I don't know if they've ever had a good jersey. I think every uniform they've ever done has been terrible.
Yeah.
So that bumps me out, but you know, it's the Nationals. This is still going.
What else we got?
So Tanner Roark, we got Brian Goodwin and Ryan Madsen, which we like to all forget about.
Oh,
Ryan
Mad Madsen. Dog?
Yeah.
Mad Dog? Okay.
Ryan Madsen, the reason to roll to Chapman, ended up not being a starter.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That, wow. I think they were the first people to mention Roll to Chapman without mentioning his mom in 3 weeks.
Oh. Mm. Nope. Don't look it up. Don't ask about it. Don't. Stay away from it.
Don't stay
away.
Walk from away, it. People. Walk away.
Walk away.
All right. Well, as much as I just want to keep listing Nationals players, I will do it forever. Of course, how did I freaking forget that Tony Perez played for the Expos?
Yes, he did.
And Sean Doolittle is like the greatest national reliever of all time and pitched for the Reds. So,
Wow.
We're going to continue a Riverfront tradition here where we go and we take some movies and we use quotes to describe how we're feeling about current situations. So, folks, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the quotes are Wayne's World. Now, this is one of my all-time favorite movies. So Ben and I are going to go back and forth about 2 to 3 quotes each to describe our favorite, we're going to use these quotes to say how we feel about the Reds season coming up. So Ben, would you like for me to go first or would you like to go first?
Oh, you go by all means.
All right. So I'm going with the classic when everything's shutting down and Wayne leaves the set and Garth's by himself on the stage with, I'm having a good time. Not. Because of all the injuries.
I know.
Because they just put a ton of injuries on us. Because we just had to have everyone get hurt under the sun before the season starts. Matt McClain, TJ Friedl, Nick Lodolo. Well, he was always hurt. But Brandon Williamson, Edwin Arroyo. I mean, Noel DeMarte gets suspended. Not fun. Not fun last couple weeks of spring training.
No, not at all. Not at all at all. It's been a roller coaster. I mean, from us having the highs of highs to now we've got a barrage of injuries and we're bringing guys in and we're trying to figure it all out. And hey, opening day is on Thursday.
Yeah.
So. Spew it into this.
All right, Ben, where do you go for your Wayne's World quotes?
So my Wayne's World quote comes from, it was Wayne, and he was like, well, that's all the time we had on our movie. We hope you found it entertaining, whimsical, and yet relevant. An underlying revisionist conceit that belied the film's emotional attachment to this subject matter. So I just thought of this quote because he spews it out at the end of this thing. And it's, I mean, of course, the movie is fantastic. But like, I'm thinking about the start of the season. And like you said, there's so many different things. Whimsical, exciting, fun. But also hope you don't get a little scared about what's going on, what's about to happen. So, you know, us being Reds fans, we've had that optimism of, oh man, I hope we thought it was great. This is going to be awesome. And then you got all these other things that happen. So yeah, it was a long quote, but that's the one I thought of.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go with the infamous scene where they're talking about the sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go with Wayne saying, after Benjamin says, I'm sorry you feel that way, but it's the nature of the beast that we have to put everything, that we have to do all this stuff. And he goes, maybe I'm wrong for this one, but for me, the beast doesn't include selling out.
Oh, yeah.
This is, and I'm going to say that I appreciate him sticking to his guns, provide the controversy of whatever side you're on. This is Nick Kroll saying, no fans. I am letting Joey Votto move on. Mm-hmm. I know that you have an emotional attachment to him and you love him. As you see, he's got a poster here. And we've talked about that all season, so we're not going to dive him back to it. We hope he's doing the best. But Nick Kroll said, look, we don't need him anymore. It's time to move on. So Nick Kroll said, I will not feed the beast. I will not bow to you, my fan base, and I will just allow things to go the way they are.
Exactly. Yep. I like that. That's a good one. That's definitely a good one. And it fits. And, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, people had their opinions, which is fine. You have your opinion. But Nick Kroll stuck to his guns, and he did what he felt was right. And we're rolling with it. We're rolling with it. I like it. Camera one.
Camera two. Camera one. Camera two.
So for my next one, it was real simple. It was at the end of all that, Garth looks and says, I just hoped you didn't think it sucked. And at the end of the day, right, that's what we're hoping for, is that hopefully we get to the end and it doesn't suck.
Yes, that's all we want.
That's all we want. It's real simple.
Yes. All right. I'm going to go with Wayne here. If you remember, there's the scene when they're shooting all of the infomercials, and he goes, or magic being matched like Wim to Delaware. Hi, I'm in Delaware. And what I go with this is, let's just hope we don't feel like we're in Delaware in August.
Yep, I'm with you.
I don't think we're going to feel that way. I fully believe if we get everyone back healthy, we're going to feel very good about this team.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. All right.
I agree. I like that one.
So there were so many quotes we could have gone here. Do you have any more, or do you want to round this out?
Not all I remember are the Babe and Babasaurus and Babe.
If she were president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln.
Is she Abraham Lincoln?
All right. Well, I'll round this out with my last quote. And it's easy. It's Wayne's World! Wayne's World! Party time! Excellent! Because the season's here, everybody.
Yes, it is.
We made it. We're here. We feel good about it. I'm so happy. Ben's so happy.
Oh, man. Can't wait.
And I was trying to figure out, Ken brings up No Stairway to Nine. I was trying to figure out a way to use that one. I couldn't figure out how I could put it in and make it make sense with correlating it. I do feel like I need Alex Cooper to explain advanced statistics. We could use Milwaukee there.
Yep.
Milwaukee.
Yep. Milwaukee. Oh, man.
This is why this is fun every weekend.
Yes, absolutely.
So we hope that we are taking care of your Sunday before you get your the end of your Sunday scaries before Monday morning. That's our goal through the season, obviously. All right, man. Well, this was terrific. The chat was fantastic tonight. Thank you guys so much. Hey, if you are going to be downtown Thursday, I'm actually going to be at More Line with my guy Jeff Trenpool and member of the Riverfront, Joe Farsing. Wow, I forgot Joe's name for a second. And I will be there. So Thursday from 1 to 3 with at More Line with Jeff and Joe doing a show there. So if you guys are in the area, come say what's up. I'd love to hang out with you. I guess I'll have I had my first beer of the year this weekend for March Madness. So I guess I broke the run.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, I'll happily take one if someone buys one for me. Okay. That's what I'm trying to get. All right. Like,
sounds good. He will not turn down free beverages.
Right. Oh, man. Ooh. Okay. Joey's going to be bringing in some man. I'm trying to go home. Who's the likeliest friend to have a walk-up punk rock song? Well, Joey's gone, so I don't feel like, could you see Jake Fraley coming out to like Blitzkrieg Bop?
I was going to say Fraley or Freedom, one of the two.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like their style or their play style anyway.
Yeah, I could see it. Yeah, I mean, Matt McClain last year used Still DRE by Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, and that was like the best, the absolute best. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you all so much. This was so fun tonight. We're definitely really grateful. Like I said, we'll be here every Sunday night throughout the season. April 7th, Ben and I won't be here, but there will be a late night Reds. our buddies Chad Dotson and Seth Shaner filling in for Tim and Ben that night. Yeah. While Tim and Ben watch WrestleMania. So
absolutely.
Be kind to those guys, even though they're not us. We know we're your favorites. So just, you know, make sure you give those guys the late night Reds love. They're great dudes. Seth's doing an awesome job with Red Lake Roundtable, which this week you can check out on Wednesday, I believe it's gonna be released. Pokey Reese.
Oh yeah.
Joining the show. So really excited to hear that. Pokey's obviously the Grand Marshal, one of the Grand Marshals, Dimitri Young in the parade on Thursday. So really good there. And then of course the Riverfront will be back Friday to recap opening day and kind of talk about that. So thank you all again, as always. We definitely appreciate everything. If you're checking us out and you aren't subscribed already to the Riverfront YouTube channel, please do so. If you haven't given us a review on your podcast app of choice, please do so. Again, I'll reiterate it. Chat rule tonight. You guys were incredible.
It was awesome. You guys were awesome.
Thank you. It was so fun. Yeah. Man, just a great, great show to get us started with the season. Let's go ahead and roll here. Oh, actually, these questions, man, they're keeping us here. But this is a good one. Brandon asks, who's Ben's doppelganger?
Oh,
I think Mr. Wan said in the past that you were Stanley from The Office.
I know. Yeah, but that's tough.
Yeah, especially now that you have dreads. Back in the day when you had your fro, definitely were Stanley.
Yeah,
you
definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I could play basketball. I didn't have his lack of skill.
Would Warren Sapp be insulting?
No, I like Warren Sapp. That's probably one of my top five favorite football players of all time. All
right, cool.
I'll take Warren Sapp.
Yeah. Mr. Wan said, yep. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Have a great week.
Enjoy the first week of the season. We'll see you guys next Sunday.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree